This is The Takeaway, coming to you from WKSU in Kent, Ohio, from the campus of Kent State University. But today we start the show in California.
The backstop for an execution for taking of another life is the governor of the state of California. And with respect to everyone here, when I was standing on this side and I wasn't standing here, it was an intellectual conversation. It's a very emotional place that I stand in.
One quarter of the people facing the death penalty in the United States are in California. On Wednesday, Governor Gavin Newsom issued a moratorium on executions in the state, granting at least a temporary reprieve for the 737 inmates on death row in California.
I am expressing this not from paradigm of politics. It's not a situational conversation for me. This is about who I am as a human being. This is about what I can or cannot do. To me, this is the right thing to do.
This decision puts California alongside a growing number of states that are moving away from capital punishment. 10 states over the past 10 years. And death penalty opponents remain adamant that it's a flawed system and morally wrong. So let's start there. Here with me now is Marisa Lagos, a political correspondent for KQED in San Francisco. Hi, Marisa.
Hey, Tanzina.
And I'm also joined by Carol Steiker, a professor at Harvard Law School and co-author of Courting Death, the Supreme Court, and Capital Punishment. Carol, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks, Tanzina.
So, Marisa, let's start with you. Tell us what this moratorium means for inmates on California's death row right now.
Well, in practice, it means that we will not be seeing any executions soon, although I should note we haven't had any in California since 2006. But what really prompted this was Newsom's basically being advised by his legal team that as soon as next month, the state corrections department would be asking him to sign off on the protocols for executing people. And so he basically issued this executive order saying, as long as I'm governor, we are not going to execute anybody. He also announced the closing of the death chamber at San Quentin Prison, just north of San Francisco, and the withdrawal of those regulations that basically set out how you actually would put somebody to death in California. So it's not a commutation of these sentences. The next governor could reverse it, but it also means that the courts don't have the ability to review this because it's a reprieve, not a commutation, which has sort of different legal implications.
Carol, what can you tell us about how Governor Newsom's decision squares with the state of the death penalty across the country? We mentioned in the opening here that there have been 10 states in 10 years who have changed their stance on the death penalty.
Yes, I think it's true that Governor Newsom's action is very much in line with what we're seeing nationally on the death penalty. You know, back in the early 1970s, the U.S. Supreme Court abolished the death penalty in the United States in a landmark decision in 1972 called Furman versus Georgia, brought it back 4 years later in 76. And from 76 to now, we've really been on a roller coaster. From 76 until around 2000, the death penalty was really soaring everywhere, including in California. But from 2000 to now, basically the last two decades, it's been in free fall. And the death penalty, just to give a sense of what I mean, the peak of death sentencing was in 1996 nationwide when 315 people were added to death row in a single year. The recent low, 2016, 31 people were added to death row. So that's a decline of more than 90% from the peak in the 90s till now. We see the same thing with executions. We see state legislative abolition and judicial abolition. The death penalty is really withering on the vine.
Carol, why is that? Is there some sort of moral or social or economic argument that's sort of connecting all of these, this decline?
Yeah, I think the arguments are very much, the reasons are very much those that the governor stated. One thing that I think precipitated this decline is the advent of DNA testing and the recognition that there have been wrongful death sentences. So people have been exonerated off of death row around the country, and that's a rather terrifying prospect. And that really, I think, gave a big bump to public opinion with regard to the death penalty. Similarly, you know, from 1976 till now, when the Supreme Court brought back the death penalty, it didn't just bring it back and say, hey, do whatever you want now. The Supreme Court has really regulated the death penalty through the Constitution, requiring all kinds of new statutes, new procedures, new kinds of death penalty trials and review of those cases that have been extraordinarily expensive, so that now the cost of the death penalty vastly exceeds the cost of sentencing someone to life imprisonment.
Marisa, you spoke to Governor Newsom yesterday, and this announcement sort of reminds, I think, a lot of Californians about his own decision to go against the Democratic Party and legalize gay marriage when he was the mayor of San Francisco in 2004. And you talked to him about the similarities in those two instances yesterday. Let's take a listen.
Similar sentiment, you know, in terms of how we approach this. When I told my staff that I wanted to move forward in this direction, and everybody's reaction and counsel and concern. For me, the other similarity is this. I just think it was the right thing to do.
Marisa, what do we know about Governor Newsom's approach here? What does this tell us about who he is as a politician?
You know, it's interesting. I've been covering him since he was mayor. And the thing that really strikes me these days about him is how open he is about his sort of personal experience and how it's informing this policy. So he talked a lot about a case that both his grandfather and his father worked really hard on over their lifetime to basically get a man who had been accused of being a mob hitman off of out of prison. This guy did not get the death penalty, but missed it by one jury's vote. And Newsom kind of grew up with that case in his, you know, zeitgeist. He talked about visiting death row and seeing a high school classmate on death row who he didn't know had been there. He talked about his own experience with his mom fostering kids and realizing the sort of racial inequities just around the criminal justice system. And so I think that, you know, that's not dissimilar to the things he talks about in 2004 when he was looking at gay marriage and sort of experiencing through other couples that he knew in San Francisco, you know, their heartache at not being able to do that. And so I think that, you know, for him, he basically framed this as something that he thought he was going to have to deal with in this term, but maybe not this soon. And that he just decided he didn't want to kind of nibble around the edges once it became clear that it was going to confront him soon. He wanted to kind of go all in and really tackle the heart of the matter, not just deal with, say, the regulations or other things. I mean, and the other part of what he said about the similarities was he didn't want to do what he thought the Obama administration did, which was, in his mind, under same-sex marriage, carry on the same policy as the Bush administration. You know, he didn't go after his predecessor, Jerry Brown, but he basically made clear that he didn't think that sort of continuing to plot along this path that was going to lead back to executions was fair. And, you know, to the professor's point, I think it's important to note, he basically said, given the statistics about what we know about innocence, among death row inmates around the nation, he believes as many as 30 inmates on death row in California out of that 737 could be innocent. And so he said to him, that was sort of the question of the day. It was really not the question of whether, you know, what a family would weigh when they're looking at this, but what he had to look at as governor, which was, as he put it, lining up, you know, a different person every day for 2 years for execution if you were actually to go through with every single one of those inmates.
We're talking about the moratorium on the death penalty in California and what it means for the country here on The Takeaway. Carol, Florida was the second state after California with the next largest number of death row inmates in the nation, followed by Texas. Do we think this decision is going to have any impact on those states, particularly Texas?
Well, you know, both Florida and Texas have seen similar declines in their use of the death penalty over the past 20 years. So, you know, everywhere around the country, we are seeing this withering. On the other hand, you know, will governors in those states or will the legislatures in those states call a halt to executions? I think not. I think that what this action does is really bring to light and public attention in a greater way, the dysfunction of the death penalty, the problem of wrongful convictions, the problem of racial discrimination, the extraordinary high costs for very little return. So I think it is part of that larger conversation. But I think the most interesting way in which Governor Newsom's action may affect the death penalty in places like Texas, Florida, Alabama, places where we're not going to see similar actions, is that the U.S. Supreme Court you know, as I said, back in the 1970s, abolished the death penalty. And in my book, Courting Death, one of the things that I predict, along with my co-author, is that eventually the death penalty will end in the United States in the same way, because I don't think we're going to see legislative action in some of the states that still maintain the death penalty. That's what sets the United States apart from our peer countries that have abolished the death penalty. There's a deep commitment to federalism by which the states get to decide individually unless they run afoul of the Constitution.
Well, and in this case, I want to point out here that, and I want to bring in Marisa one last minute here, because Californians in the state actually voted to uphold the death penalty most recently in 2016, and Newsom went against the will of the voters. And I'm curious, Marisa, you were able to talk to him about that. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
I've long been strong in my opposition to the death penalty. So if it ends up back on the ballot, I would certainly be active and supportive. But what I hope our action did today is it starts a conversation anew. It begins the debate anew. It puts in perspective the magnitude of California's role as it relates to the death penalty, not just nationally, but internationally.
Marisa, given what we just heard from Carol and also what Gavin Newsom just said, could he face political blowback in California?
I think he will. I think more likely, though, I don't see this as career ending for him in any way. He just got elected, but it's very possible, in fact, likely, that this will be posed to voters in 2020. And I think the question is sort of how much political capital and money will he and other Democrats put behind it, and what position will it put more moderate Democrats in, who took some of those more purple districts in November.
Marisa Lagos is a political reporter for KQED and co-host of the podcast Political Breakdown. Marisa, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Carol Steiker is a professor at Harvard Law School and co-author of the book Courting Death, The Supreme Court and Capital Punishment. Carol, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.